That's right. Every single Tuesday, 7:30 in the morning, you know what time it is. Brian Baldinger joining us on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathir? Baldy, good morning to you. It is Shark Week. What a week three in the NFL. We knew it was going to be a monster week. It was upsets galore all over the place. But let's start with the 49ers, who did get upset in L.A. at SoFi Stadium in the game. We both felt like Shasky and I, they had no business losing. They controlled most of the game. But the Rams hung around, and stole it. But let's start with the positives. And the positive, I think, Juwan Jennings and Brock Purdy. What a game for those guys. If there was any questions about Brock Purdy being the franchise quarterback, I mean, he was sensational, Baldy. Take away the one misread where he didn't see Brandon Ayuk. I mean, this guy was nearly perfect on Sunday, Baldy. Purdy did everything to help the Niners win.
That's what people wanted to see, Bonte. Good morning to you guys. Yep. They wanted to see, you know, what would Brock Purdy look like without, you know, without Kittle and without Debo and, you know, without McCaffrey, and he was phenomenal. It was the best offensive day. They put up 425 yards of offense. People talk about the Ronnie Bell drop. It's a drop. It's a great throw. The Rams players didn't drop those 50-yard balls. When Stafford had to make those type of plays, they caught them. Whether it was Atwell or whoever, DeMarcus Robinson, they caught their bombs. And 49ers catch theirs, they win that game. But Brock was unbelievable. I mean, he saw the field. He scrambled. He moved. He had him in position to win that game. I thought he was sensational, and I never thought. I remember years ago talking to Jimmy G about Juwan Jennings. I'm like, what does he do? What's he do well? Like when he was just young and starting, he goes, Right. Well, he's not fast, he's not too quick, but like he gets open. He knows how to get open, and boy, did he know how to get open the other day. Like he was just a dominant, fierce dog out there all game long.
Yeah, we'll get right back into Brock, but the Jennings thing is interesting to me because Bonte knows this with me. Like, I'm just a sucker for the 6'3", 220, 230 wide receiver. Yeah, if you can run, great. It's a plus. But, like, there's something about, especially this offense, if you're going to throw a lot over the middle, you better be able to body somebody, and you better be able to be a possession receiver, and it just gives your quarterback some catch radius. You know, you can be a little behind a guy, and he can box a DB out. There's something about his physical makeup in contrast to the other players they have that I just think is a missing ingredient. And I feel like they don't incorporate him enough week in, week out, Juwan Jennings.
They don't. I mean, that catch over Quentin Lake was ridiculous. I mean, it looked like Michael Jordan just climbing. I mean, his hang time, he just draped himself over the safety right there to make that catch. I mean, just an aggressive play with the ball in the air. And he's always been dependable. But he always seemed like he was that third option or fourth option, which everybody needs. But maybe, like, you know, you can't watch that game and go, maybe they paid the wrong guy. You know, maybe that's the guy they should have paid. Maybe that's the guy that, should be their go-to guy, just the way that he performed.
So what's going on with Brandon Ayuk, since you alluded to it, and they did pay Brandon Ayuk, who came off a monster season. Is it just rust? Is it the lack of training camp really hurting him? He got 10 targets on Sunday, caught 5 balls. It looked like they were trying to make him active. They tried to get him implemented to the game plan, and then Juwan Jennings took over. So what is going on with Brandon Ayuk here?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Did they pay the wrong guy, Baldy?
Well, you know, last year he averages 17 yards a catch. And he has 7 touchdowns. He's averaging 10 yards a catch right now. He looks pedestrian, and he's playing like he's pedestrian. Like, you don't see the, you know, just the moves to separate. You just don't see, he just doesn't seem like the same person. He doesn't have any sort of swag about him at all right now. He just seems like a guy out there. Now, is that training camp? Is that, it probably is a big chunk of it. No offseason, no training camp, no preseason, and then just go and hit the ground running. And maybe it's going to take a while. You know, 3 years ago when he was in that proverbial doghouse to start the season, he dug himself out. And I'm not saying he's in a doghouse. He's not. But, you know, maybe it's just going to take time for him to find that rhythm back into this offense right now, because he's not really heavily involved right now. And he doesn't play like he should be.
Yeah, I've been telling Bonte, like, even when he does catch a ball, last year he'd do the, you know, the shoulder thing, and he'd do a first down, and there was like an aura or a charisma or just an energy that he played with, and I'm just not seeing that. And like, so I guess let me ask you this. Is it more a byproduct of the balls not getting thrown his way? Clearly, we saw the third down drop that was a little behind him, but he's got to make that play. And he had a drop in the middle of the field as well. And is it a byproduct of him not getting open enough? The quarterback not looking at him? The coach not dialing his number up? What are you seeing?
Nah, I see a little bit of all of that right there, Joe. I mean, I can't pinpoint it. I don't think the 49ers can pinpoint it. I don't think IU can. The quarterback's going to throw it to the open receiver. That's just his job, and that's just how good he is. He's not going to go out, and just the way Stafford did. I mean, Stafford, you know, if it's throwing it to Jordan Whittingham and the sixth-round pick, he's going to throw it to him. He's going to throw it to the open guy, and, you know, whoever wins. And the progression will take you through it. But, I mean, could he have thrown it, you know, to somebody? Could he have thrown it to Ayuk on the throw that he made to Ronnie Bell? Right. He could have. Safety was in the middle of the field. He looked like he had his mind made up, because it looked like Ronnie Bell got, you know, one a little earlier. You can't see both. You can't see the right sideline and the left sideline. You got to see one or the other. But he made a decision to throw it to Ronnie Bell. It was the right throw. It was a perfect throw. Your receiver's got to catch it right now. I mean, we've seen a lot of drops so far. We saw Ayuk drop one against the Jets in the end zone to start the season. We've seen a lot of drops from this receiving core right now.
Yeah, Baldy here on the River Islands guest lines. Our defense is still respected. I remember we put out the video about Brandon Ayuk in the Super Bowl, how the Chiefs were bracketing him, and if he saw 1-on-1, he was winning. It was a really good breakdown, Baldy. Our defense is still concerned with Ayuk the same way the Chiefs were in that Super Bowl. They're still rolling coverage towards him, because we saw the first touchdown, the safety, Brock Purdy did a great job holding his eyes there with the free safety, Juwan Jennings wide open at that first touchdown. But our defenses still respected Brandon Ayuk like he was that guy, like he was a season ago.
Not many teams have the schemes that Kansas City can right. come up with. That's 2 weeks, get ready for a game. It's the biggest game of the year. They had a plan.
Right.
I mean, most teams can't game plan to that degree and don't have the chess pieces that Kansas City has. So you don't see that right now.
Defensively, Baldy, it's a problem. What's up with this defensive line, Baldy?
It's a problem. I mean, look, Javon Hargrave, you know, and that the long bomb to Tutu Atwell, like, you know, I don't know if it's tricep, you know, I mean, it's a muscle injury tear. Like, I don't know what his status is. But he has not been good. Leonard Floyd has not been, he's been pretty invisible. Nick makes some plays, but not enough. I mean, they don't have depth, and they don't have playmakers up front. That's what this defense is built upon. And so a guy like Stafford, you know, playing with the rookie center and a first-year left guard and a left tackle that missed all of preseason, like, they hold up just fine. And Stafford did, down 14-0. They just kept firing. But the big thing was the run game. I mean, Kyren Williams was, it was under 100 yards, but still, Fred was invisible. I mean, I didn't see anybody make a play on Sunday on that defense. I didn't see anybody that looked like they wanted to make a play. You know, like somebody that just the way Fred did the week before, he's just knocking a ball out and getting his hands off. I didn't see anybody do anything on Sunday with that defense.
Is this a byproduct of just missing Dre Greenlaw? Like, because I know that he's an energy guy and he cleans up a lot, right? And so they miss him, but they were running the ball on the inside. They were running it to the outside. You saw Stafford like almost falling over as he's handing over those stretch plays. And then it just feels like they got, I don't know, man. They're missing all the juice. Are they just old, I guess, is the question. Because we could argue about scheme changes and all this. I don't think the personnel is great right now.
That's not. I mean, Charvarius is down on the ground. You know, he's supposed to be their best corner. He loses his footing out there. The safeties haven't made a play. I mean, none of them. I mean, you know, we love Talanoa. We love, I mean, we've seen some things from Tig, Jair Brown. But we haven't seen anything from the safeties. They're not making any hits in the middle of the field. They're not getting their hands on any footballs. Dre is a special player, and he's really good with Fred together. But honestly, they look like they were catching blocks all day inside. And the defensive tackles have been invisible in this defense all year long for the most part. I mean, Hargrave had a sack last week, but, I mean, for the most part, they've been pretty invisible. And they've been able to get blocked up front. You just don't see – and you just don't see enough scheme things to, like, make up for any of that right now.
What's going on with Bosa? Like, I don't know – I just don't know what's going on. I mean, he feels very one-trick pony-like, very power rush forward, and there are times where it's just – I don't know. I don't see him shedding blocks and stopping the run. I'm very frustrated with him because I know he's a better player than what he's shown this year.
Well, I mean, he hasn't done much. I mean, you know, if Nick was on this call with us right now, he'd tell you he has to do more. He'd be honest with himself. You know, you're going up against guys that you should win against. You know, I mean, Lark Jackson is a guy that, you know, he's paid and he's a former defensive player of the year. You want to win those one-on-one battles. Now, I'll give Sean McVay credit and, you know, their offense line coach. I mean, they doubled them. They knew exactly who to double on every protection when they wanted to go deep. They chipped them. They slid to them. I mean, he wasn't getting easy one-on-one rushes. But he knows that. He knows he still has to defeat that stuff. But these chips and the way that they use their tight ends and the running backs, especially Kyren, to go over there and just give a shoulder here and there, I mean, they were very, very adroit at protecting Stafford to be able to take those shots.
Yeah, Paul, you're spot on with that. And Devondre Campbell on coverage, Sean McVay picked on him. Other teams tell you who your weak spot is. Other teams will tell you, okay, we're going to attack this guy. Devondre Campbell pass coverage struggled. But I want to ask you about Nick Sorensen. Are the Niners doing anything different than they have in the past with their Y9 scheme, 4-3 zone concepts? What do you see from the defense? Because from us, just two guys on the couch, Paul D., we don't see any creativity. We don't see any creative blitzes, creative stunts. And without Hargrave now, who wasn't playing that well, I'm figuring out, man, if you're going to apply pressure, you may have to start blitzing or something. What have you seen from Nick Sorensen so far in three games as a DC?
He started the game in a five-man defensive line, which they haven't shown at all. And they ran it one play, and that was it. Like, you know, okay, you want to stop Kyren Williams. You know, that's like how they get started. Stop Kyren Williams. All right. And then I thought, okay, well, maybe this is going to be their changeup here to be able to stop the inside run game of, you know, a really talented back. But they ran it one play. Like, you just see a changeup here. I saw Nick dropping coverage last week once. But you don't see anything consistent, like any sort of consistent changeups that might bother a blocking scheme. You don't see late stemming. Like, I saw the Eagles against, you know, New Orleans, they threw a completely different scheme to stop their run game. They stem late. They confused the blocking scheme of New Orleans. They took the stretch away. I don't see that from Nick right now. And, you know, maybe he's shorthanded. They don't have good depth in the defensive line. It's not a secret right now. And so, you know, Nick has to play an awful lot of snaps just because when he's not out there, it really becomes glaring. So they don't have good depth on the defensive line, which they once had.
Yep.
And so, that's a problem right now. And then you just don't see any change-ups at this point right now.
When I'm watching McVay, and I saw Kevin O'Connell do similar stuff the week before, they'll have like a trips formation, and you'll have a guy kind of in motion, and a bunch of guys get jumbled up, and it's kind of like a pick or a rub play where you got guys going one direction, and then let's go crosser, and you got Charvarius Ward chasing somebody like Tutu, who's significantly faster than him. It just seems like the big chunk plays to get 10, 15 yards are always available on those types of plays because they can't heat up the quarterback, and I'm just scratching my head. I don't know, because I feel like this secondary should be better, but when you run a route like that, it's hard to stop it. You can't get your hands on anyone, and you're just slower than some of these elite wideouts. Did you see that from McVay as well?
McVay is an elite. He's just, I mean, I get smarter just watching him coach every week, just watching how they deploy. I mean, they had two backup tight ends in there, you know, and so that's not their starter, Higbee, but they got two backup tight ends. Hunter Long is out there. He's chipping. I mean, they ran three receivers for the most part.
Yep.
And then they might delay, you know, late or screen to Kyren or whatever. But, I mean, for the most part, they were three receivers attacking the 49ers secondary and knowing, look, down 14-0, down 24-14, they had to convert some big plays in order to get back into the game. And it seemed like every time they tried one, they converted it. And in large part because, A, Stafford, whether it's no-look passes, the guy's just, he's just, you know, a unique, unique quarterback. Yeah. And he gave him time. I don't care who he's throwing to. Like, it seems like he can put the ball right where he wants to.
Yeah, I know. Coming into the game, they ran 11 personnel 100% of the time. They had a little change up there with the 12 personnel, the two tight end sets, and the one back and two wide receivers. We're talking to Baldy here on the River Islands guest line. Before we move on and look, take a look at the Patriots here, special teams have been anything but special the last 2 weeks for the San Francisco 49ers. Last week, the block punt Minnesota. This week, they're controlling the game, Baldy. 14-0. I'm going to the bathroom saying, hey, man, they're going to roll. And 4th and 6, they do the direct snap to Ronnie Rivers. That leads them to a 16-play, 87-yard drive that nearly takes 8 minutes off the clock. And it changed the football game. Special teams, punt return, missed field goals. That will lose you games in a heartbeat in the NFL, Baldy.
No doubt. No question. Third of the game. And here's the thing. At the end of the year, at the end of 17 games, you want to win 2 games because of your special teams. You definitely don't want to lose a game or 2 games because of your special teams. You saw last night, you saw Austin Eckler take a kickoff return to start the third quarter, 60-something yards. 5 plays later, they're in the end zone. They're just rolling on Cincinnati. I mean, special teams changes field position, changes the game. Block punts, missed field goals. It gives you good field position on that missed field goal right there. Like, all those things add up. And field position, especially when you're playing a division game like this, it's the difference between winning and losing.
Yep.
Baldy, CMC is out right now. He's going to go to Germany for, I don't know, some sort of specific doctor stuff. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. It's very speculation here. Thoughts on CMC?
There's a lot of guys that know about this procedure over there in Germany. And so I think when you're, I don't mean to interrupt your joke.
Yeah, no, let's hear
the question. But I think that, you know, a lot of guys are going outside the country, whether it's to Panama or to Germany, to get some things done that they can't get done seemingly in the United States, and to try to just promote healing. And so I don't blame Christian, but it's not a great sign that he's going to have to go to Germany in order to see if he, because it means things aren't healing correctly right now. That's what it says to me. And I don't know whether there's or not. I'm speculating only, Joe. But if you're going all the way to Germany to look at a procedure the way I know Kobe did it one time, I know other guys that go to Panama during the season, that's not a great sign that things are coming along as quickly as you want.
Yeah, the when you say Panama, it's usually to escape the feds. You know what I mean? And move your money. But, Baldy, what do you think about Jordan Mason? What do you think about Jordan Mason like right now? Because I feel like there's a player clearly in there who's running really hard. I can't tell you how many runs have been called back because of holds that have been 10, 12, 14-yard runs. I feel like this guy runs hard. He runs forward. Even on 1 and 2 yard gains, he's making 3 guys miss in the backfield. I think there's a stud in Jordan Mason. And I thought Garendo looked a little better, giving him 4 or 5 carries. So what are you seeing from the guys that are going to replace CMC?
Well, I mean, look, Jordan Mason, I mean, not counting the holds and the plays that have been called back, and the Juice hold on the outside was a killer in that game.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know the last time Juice got a penalty, period. Like, I just don't even know. But, I mean, he's got 70 touches now, Joe, in 3 games. Like, you know, you're on pace right now for 300. He's never done this before. Like, no, I don't know if he can hold up the way they're going. You need Debo back. You need Garendo. Like, you can't. I don't think you could pound Jordan Mason because of the way that he runs. Like, he finishes his runs. He finishes hard, which is great. You want that. I don't know that he can handle 70 more touches the next 3 weeks without wearing down. You look at his total yards right now. You look at his yards per carry. Since that Jet game, it has decreasingly gone down.
Yep.
And so that's not a great sign right now.
No, I'm with you.
I mean, to me, now, look, it's a 3-game trend. I'm just saying that's a lot of touches for somebody that's never had to do that before.
No, for a market that, you know, was all over Christian McCaffrey, just touches last season, you too, Baldy. Last week we were doing the math. I was like, all right, he's got 48 carries now. He's on pace for 408. Now, he didn't get as many carries against the Rams, but to your point, he's a battering ram. It's only so long. You're right. They got to get a backup in here. Garendo, maybe it's Patrick Taylor Jr., maybe it's Keyshawn Vaughn on the practice squad. I have no idea here. Real quick, looking ahead to the Patriots. They got smoked by the New York Jets on Thursday Night Football, but I look at the first two games. They played Seattle very tough, lost in overtime. They beat Cincinnati in Cincinnati to start the season, and they run the football, which has been the Niners' kryptonite. They can't stop the run right now, and I think they're a solid defense. I know the Jets had their way, but this is not a game I think the 49ers can overlook. I think they can't sleepwalk into it because they'll get beat. Patriots had a long time to get over that Jets loss, Baldy.
No, they had 10 days to get ready. They have a real specific formula. They should have beaten Seattle. They lost in overtime. They physically beat Cincinnati. They have to be able to run the ball, and they got to keep the score close. If they fall behind 14-0, it might be over like it did against the Jets. If they keep it close and they can play their style of football, which is, you know, Antonio Gibson, Ramondre Stevenson running it, they have enough skill at wide receiver that can hurt you. Jacoby Brissett has never been a turnover machine. And defensively, they're very talented. Keon White is a really good player. They've got good players defensively. You know, but if Brock goes out there and carves them up the way he did the Rams, I they should be able to put this game away. But if they keep it close and they play their style of football, they could get this thing into the fourth quarter. And that's how they're built. That's what they want to be able to do.
You know, Baldy, I know you look at all these plays all around the league, and there's so many special ones. The throw Jalen Daniels made last night to end that game was just, I mean, it's like a video game throw. Guy coming in your face, and you rifle it to just the perfect spot at the back of the pylon, diving catch. There was a play by Brock Purdy. There's a bunch of plays by Brock Purdy in this game, but he used his feet. I'm yelling at Bonte last week. He's got to use his feet more. He's got to run because I think that you're running. And I'm not talking about scripted runs. I'm talking about scramble runs. It's a key element of his game because he's good on the run in terms of throwing, and he's got really good aware. He made a pump fake rolling to his left to get a first down and dove with the ball out over the first down marker. Look, I know there's some special plays. I thought it was just an unbelievable play that gets lost in the sauce of a loss. His ability to make plays. And then later, he's scrambling and he slides inbounds to keep the clock going. I don't know if you saw that one where he slides onto his two, but I think he needs to use his legs more. I think that that is a huge element of his game on the outside. And I just think that we sleep on how athletic this guy is.
Well, I'll tell you, Joe, when I'm watching the exact plays you're describing right here, and in the first one you described, he actually pumped Jared Verse and then had another pump before he dove for the first down, sticking the ball out across the marker. And when I watched that one play, I thought, this is what Mahomes does. It's what Mahomes been doing for 8 years. Now, nobody wants to compare Brock Purdy to Mahomes, and I'm not trying to do that. But Mahomes is special at being able to extend plays. And I bet you if Brock Purdy and Patrick Mahomes lined up and ran a 40-yard dash, I bet they probably timed the same. I bet they both run in the 4.8s. But on the field, because they're so creative, the pump fakes, the hesitations, they're just skilled runners on the outside. I mean, Brock Purdy constantly turns the corner on defenders in this league that are faster than him. He's a very, very talented guy, extending plays and playing beyond the X's and O's. And I think the longer, like it happened and it worked with Juwan Jennings the other day, but I think we have seen that with Kittle. I think there's a lot of plays to be made beyond the initial X and O play because of his ability to extend plays.
Look good around the league here. Buffalo 3-0. They looked phenomenal last night. They just waxed the Jaguars. They're in trouble. Pittsburgh's 3-0, doing it a different way, led by their defense. It's an old-school type of style they're playing. Minnesota, the surprise of the league, 3-0 right now in the NFC Central. Big game against Green Bay coming up. Who's been the team through the first 3 weeks, Baldy, that you've locked in on and said, boy, they've got action here? What's that one team that's sticking out to you?
Well, I mean, you know, you saw Minnesota last week, okay? I mean, Houston comes up there. That's a stacked roster. I have never seen C.J. Stroud struggle like that in my life. I mean, Brian Flores right now, I mean, he held San Francisco to 17 points 2 years in a row, all right? This guy and what they're doing right now. Now, you can talk about Sam Darnold. Sam's been awesome, and I think he benefited a great deal from his year in San Francisco a year ago. But Minnesota's a problem because you can't get the ball over their head. In fact, all three teams, if you look at Pittsburgh, nobody can score against Pittsburgh right now. If you look at Buffalo, if you look at Minnesota, you look at them defensively, nobody's making big plays against them defensively. Nobody. They're keeping everything in front of them. They're all extremely well coached defensively right now, and all of them. And then Josh Allen is the MVP of this league.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he's thrown seven. He's run for two. He's got nine touchdowns right now in three games. I mean, do the math on that one, Bonte. Like, he's in the 60s at the end of this, at this pace right now.
He's got James Cook running the ball well, catching the ball well. Buffalo's a fun, fun watch. Go ahead. Get in here,
Sasky. You know, Baldy, one last one. And we love hearing you break everything down. The season's not over. It's a bad couple of weeks for the Niners. If you could shore up one thing, if you can make one adjustment to get them back on track, because now I'm trying to recalibrate. Like, forget the division for now. Let's just get right into the playoff contention. We got to make the playoffs. What's the thing they have to fix if they want to get to the playoffs?
Well, I think we've seen 2 weeks in a row their inability to affect the quarterback.
Yep.
We saw Sam Darnold last week. We saw Matt Stafford this past weekend. 2 weeks in a row, they have been ineffective at affecting the quarterback. And they're not good enough in man coverage or whatever scheme you want to run. They're not good enough right now to really take that away. If they have to face Patrick Mahomes in 3 weeks, whatever it is, like, until they start affecting the quarterback, you have to, like, look, 24 points is a good number, but it wasn't enough against Stafford. They needed 27 or 30. That's how good your offense has to be week in, week out right now if you're not affecting the quarterback. If you ask me one thing, that's what they have to do, and I'm not sure how they do that, but they have to get better at doing it.
Well, hey, I'm looking at Coach McDonald in Seattle in a couple weeks and what they're doing up there. They're 3-0, and I don't know how good they are at 3-0, but we'll find out on Monday Night Football. Where are you going to be this weekend, Baldy?
I'll be right in New York watching Aaron Rodgers take on the upstart Denver Broncos.
Oh, a little Bo Nix. Bo Nix, Corliss Sutton, that defense. What a win in Tampa. What an upset that was, boy.
Well, I mean, Tampa, like, this is what happens in the league. You know, you win a big game in Detroit, you come back and you take a big, long nap, and everybody's telling you how great you are and how you're going to go wipe up the NFC South, and here comes Denver, and they go down there, and they just basically make Baker look like we thought what Baker might be, you know, 2 years ago.
Wow, unbelievable. Unbelievable. The NFL's on fire right now. Baldy, we'll talk to you next Tuesday. Thanks for the time, as always, brother.
Okay, guys, you bet, man.
Thanks, Baldy.
Baldy here on the River Islands guest line. With that said, we'll react to that. Edge depth, pressure.